Welcome to a new episode of the Film at Lincoln Center podcast. This week, we're excited to present a conversation with Léa Seydoux, lead actress of the New York Film Festival main slate selection, The Beast, which will open in our theaters on April 5th. As a filmmaker, Bertrand Bonello works from the outside in, dramatizing the psychological toll of the political and cultural world around us. Here, he has created a dynamic and disturbing parable that jumps between three different time periods, 1910, 2014, and 2044, to diagnose our acute, and perhaps eternal, feelings of estrangement and alienation. Using Henry James' haunting 1903 short story, The Beast in the Jungle, as his film's provocative inspiration, Bonello tells the story of a young woman, played by Léa Seydoux, who undergoes a surgical process to have her DNA, and therefore memories of all of her past lives, removed. In doing so, she realizes her fate has long been intertwined, for better or worse, with a young man, played by George MacKay. Touching on modern anxieties of AI and incel culture, which may recur throughout history as commonly as love and hate, The Beast, like all good science fiction, asks essential questions about the ever-shifting status of humanity itself. To view showtimes and get tickets to The Beast, visit filmlink.org/beast. Now please enjoy the conversation between lead actress Léa Seydoux and moderator FLC's Vice President of Programming, Florence Amozini.
I'm really excited and honored to bring to the stage the wonderful actress Léa Seydoux.
Merci beaucoup.
We actually gonna just speak in French. We were like debating about which language to use, and but okay, now maybe we'll do a little bit of English first. We did show the film in the New York Film Festival. Unfortunately, you were not able to come, but we did have Bertrand Bonello who spoke about the film, and he said something really interesting about the casting process. And I mean, you knew each other and you worked together before, but never in such a big role for a film with him. And the thing that he mentioned is you can play each period. You have a sort of a way of presenting that outside of time, and you can be just as perfect in the past, the present, or the future. And also the way you carry yourself, it's like people don't know what you're thinking, and it makes the character extremely interesting. So it was a really nice way to introduce the character and the way you were on the screen. But now I wanted to hear from your side what made you interested in working on the project with Bertrand and how he approached you with the script at the beginning, and to just the origin of the project from your side.
Okay. So first, thank you for coming. So Bertrand sent me the script, and I read it, and I liked it, even though it was kind of always when I read a script. For me, it's always a bit abstract. Like, I don't see the film, in a way. I don't know if it makes sense, if you understand what I mean. But it's... I was just attracted, I think, by the subject. Mm-hmm. And also, I really like the fact that the film is shot, you know, at three different periods. So... the challenge was very interesting for me. And the fact also that I speak English, I speak French, I've tried to do the British accent, the American accent, you know, it was challenging. So, and there's also something about Bertrand, so it's my third collaboration with him. And there's always something with Bertrand. There is always a very metaphysical, you know, dimension that I'm really, I have to say, I'm very attracted to.
So do you, like, because it's such a particular role and it's a three-part story, it's the same character but not the same character at the same time. How do you prepare for something like this? Because I don't know if it was really shot chronological in each part, like the 1910s, 2014 and 2044. If you have to go back and forth with different character or if you just like stay in your mind as the same person completely?
No, I think we shot chronologically. Okay. Like we started with 1910, and then we did 2014, and then 2044. Right. Yes, and sorry, what was the question?
But do you, like, because it's the same character in a way, but it's not really the same
character. No, for me it was the same character, okay. Yeah. No, it was the same character. And, but it's not, like, it's the same character, but not, like, she's not, how can I say? It's the same character, but she's not, like, so she has this fear of loving. But it's not exactly like she's not moved by the same feelings in a way. Like in the first part, it's very restrained. Her feelings are completely she's restrained and so very frustrated because also of her condition. Social condition, the fact that she's married, and it's in 1910. So she has this love, she's drawn to that man, but she can't really express her feelings because she's married. So they are completely repressed. And then in 2014, they are the opposite, the total opposite. They are violent and overwhelming. And then in 2044, they are suppressed. So, for me it was not like exactly.
Is it more challenging to play a role like this, or is it more liberating for you to just having to explore different aspects of the same character and, you know, to keep the same and the difference in it?
The thing is that I don't know if it's challenging. Mm-hmm. The word is because for me, like, I'm attracted to a script. When I read a script and I want to be part of it, be part of the film, it's because I feel that I can, like, as a person, not only as an actress, but as a person, that I can live inside the film, you know? And so when I was just attracted by, I guess, the subject, you know, this fear of loving. And I'm not very. I don't like to be too. I don't like when it's too psychological. I just pour myself, you know. I just abandon myself, and this is what I like. I think I'm just like, in a way, it's a bit selfish, you know. It's like I'm thinking about the experience I can have as. Like, not as an actress, as a human being. Because I've never really considered myself as an actress, which is, like, strange, I know. But,
You've been doing this for quite some time.
Yes, so I've been doing this for quite some time. But, you know, I don't come from theater, really. Like, I've tried, but I was too shy on stage. And I think that theater was tough for me because I need... to act, I need a certain intimacy. And so for this intimacy to happen, I need a camera, I think, because it's, you know, if I'm like in front of people, then I don't know, maybe one day I will try. I want to try and have the experience to be, you know, on stage. But yes, I need that intimacy. So so what I was, I don't remember what I was saying, but but yes, it's just I think yes, I'm just trying to have a very intense experiences.
I mean, I love the film. I think it's a film that also benefits from multiple viewing to really capture what Bertrand is trying to say about fear and love through all these different stages. So I think maybe also in a way when you're making the film, as a selfish reason, you also want to see the film when it's done. Is that something that you think about when you...
No, not at all. No, actually, I'm not really interested.
I don't want to watch the film.
No, I don't like to... First of all, I don't like to watch myself and see myself. Well, no, it's very... For me, it's... Because acting is something, for me, very... you don't have that word in English, but in French, you say impudique, which means like...
It's a difficult word to translate because
it's like very impudish or prudish or something like that, no? But it feels like that I'm giving something so intimate, that I'm giving something very, yeah. That is, what?
It's too bad because this movie is really, really amazing. And you
it once, but it's fine.
I've seen it four times, and every single time I watch it, I find different things in it. And it's also funny to see it with an audience that reacts very differently at different parts, where I felt tonight was a little lighter, and people would see some of the humor. And Bertrand is not, humor is not always very obvious, but it came out in a nice way tonight. Even so, there's a lot of like pain in the film and a lot of distress that relate to contemporary life and fear, but it brings different emotion every single time we're watching the film.
But this is exactly the reason why I think I'm doing films. It's to create emotions for the viewers, you know. And actually, I think I'm only interested in what people really like feel. You know, I want to make people feel just as simple as that.
Bertrand is also a musician and a composer. And on set, does he use any cue about the music he's going to play? Or is it something that he discusses with you or it comes after?
Yes, he sent me some of the music that he used in the film. But... We didn't really, you know, I'm not so interested about like the reasons why, you know, a filmmaker wants to make a film, because it's not this approach. I mean, it's not as tacit. It is more something, it's a language that is more like underneath, if it makes sense. And so, but what I love is that I love to ask, when I'm working with a director, I love to ask him questions about his very personal questions about his life and love, like about his love life. That's all I'm interested in. About. So he was like trying to tell me the film, the story and everything, because he came to rehearse with me for the film. So he came to, I was like, we were on holidays. So he came to my house, country house. And so he started to develop and tell me like the concepts and everything. And I was like, wait, but I was not really interested about it. And I was more, but you, Bertrand, only like questions about love and. I think it's all that really matters to me.
Support for Film at Lincoln Center and the following message come from Cinema Made in Italy, presenting La Chimera. Everyone has their own chimera, something they try but never manage to find. The new Italian film La Chimera is a magical journey from Alice Rohrwacher, director of The Wonders and Happy as Lazzaro, featuring Isabella Rossellini and Josh O'Connor, known for his performance as Prince Charles in the series The Crown. La Chimera was featured in competition at the 2023 Cannes Film Festival, and Time Out called the film sublime. Peter Bradshaw, writing for The Guardian, describes it as a beguiling fantasy comedy of lost love, garrulous, uproarious, and celebratory. It's a movie bustling and teeming with life. Rohrwacher herself has been hailed as the future of cinema. La Chimera opens exclusively in theaters this Friday, March 29th, in New York and Los Angeles, and is coming soon to additional cities. For more information, go to cinemamadeinitaly.com.
I'm sure Bertrand was very open with all his personal feeling to attract you to make the film.
Yes, he was very open. But I mean, the film is, that's the main subject, no?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, it's
like fear of loving, so it's a vast subject.
It's something you disagree on, but I'm quite sure you came here for One Fine Morning with Mia Hansen Love.
You know,
because I remember.
Maybe I came and
you forgot. You said.
Did I come? Do you remember? No. No, I didn't come.
But you. Maybe it was at the Kanzen then, because I was also programming
the
directors for
Night. This film.
But you did say, anyway, for me as film, that no one ever asked you to play normal characters, like people from daily life. Or it's very rare that a director will approach you and ask you to play a normal person. And it's true
She's
that
not
you,
normal.
It's true that in One Fine Morning you play someone that has a normal life with a family and not, you know, like there's no extraordinary thing. It's like a normal routine for her. And but is that something that you look out also? Or do you just like people just will give you, you know, Lady Margot, for example, you know, or someone that seems out of normal life?
I'm not really looking for anything. I mean,
it comes to you, or you look out for things, maybe?
I'm not really looking out for things, no. Well, it comes to me, and then, you know, also, I think I need like a bit of, I need to dream. I need like poetry, which is something that is a bit like a, disappearing nowadays. I need that. But that's an interesting question. I'm thinking at the same time. No, but I really felt that I'm a white page, you know, that thing. So like as a kid, I didn't want to be an actress. It was not a dream of mine. And it's with like, it happened randomly. And I know I come from this family, cinema family, but it was really not like my destiny to become an actress. So I just feel that I was drawn to that, like, and it happened like that, and but thank God it happened, because I really feel that I've learned everything from like cinema. I've learned how it's a bit like, I mean, say, we Oui, but I've learned how to live. Well, with cinema, with the people that I've met. And actually, it's true that what I love about this job is the fact that it's very artisanal. It's a very artisanal art, how you create a film, the creative process. That is something that I find quite fascinating.
Mm. Well, talking about artisanal, I think you're working with Quentin Dupieux on the next film. So that's certainly artisanal.
Very artisanal because he does everything. He's the DP. Mm-hmm. He's he wrote the film.
Yeah.
He's directing the film. He
does the music.
He does the music. I mean, he does everything. Mm-hmm. He does. He's the script. Also, the script on set. It's crazy.
So you got the script.
Wait, I got a script. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you worked
that he wrote in 1 week.
that's a big one then, because it's longer than some of its other projects. It works a lot, and it's with Louis Garrel and Raphaël Connard. Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Okay. And Vincent Lindon.
Ah, okay. Mm-hmm.
It would be very funny.
Uh-huh. But you've shot, or you just...
Well, it's shot. Okay. He wrote it in, I think, 10 days, something like that. We shot it in 2 weeks. Uh-huh.
So that's quite a difference from coming from Dune Part 2 to Quentin Dupieux. Because Dune was quite a long, long process. But maybe not for you.
In this one, my part is...
It's not that small. It's a good part. I mean, it's a good part. You're pregnant.
It's pivotal, but it's small.
I think you're going to be in the next one.
I will be in the third one. I mean,
you're pregnant. He asked if something will happen.
You're spoiling the film.
No, we should have been. But no. Oh, yeah. No. Sorry. Maybe some people have not seen that. It's okay. Now you. We can look out for this beautiful part, Sorry. I wanted also to ask you a little bit about the work method that you are, because I think you're an actress with a lot of instincts. And it's not that you don't seem to work, it seems very natural in the way you approach roles and the way you carry your characters. Is it something that is important for you, like the instinct about picking the film and how you play your character? It seems very instinctive with you.
Yes. Yes, I'm very instinctive, but not only. But it's true. I mean, I think I do the films that I want to watch.
You just said you didn't want to watch.
No, I don't want to.
Okay, you want. Okay, I see. You want to watch the film you're in it, but not with but you
I
in
wish.
It.
I would watch.
Everybody should shoot the same film twice with you, and then you watch it with someone else.
It's like, so when I'm working with someone, it's like, it's a bit like a love story. You know, you meet someone and then you're like, that's interesting. There's like a conversation I want to have with this person. And so for me, a movie is a conversation. So I need to have an interlocutor. You say that in English? Huh? Interlocutor. I need to have someone I can relate to or have a conversation with. I wanted to say something else, but I forgot.
Ask you another question about the Beast with the collaboration with your interlocutor.
Interrupt you. No, but you said that I was instinctive. I think that So as I said, like when I want to be, I mean, when I choose to be part of a film, it's because I want to live inside the film. I think that it's in the way, I don't think you can really play something that isn't you. You know, yeah, it's always a variation of yourself in a way. So I felt that all the characters that I've played, are a variation of me, I guess. Does it make sense?
It makes sense, but I'm quickly thinking about all the roles you've played. And I'll make mental notes for next time we speak. I'm just like, oh, France comes to mind.
I'm multidimensional. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm every woman. It's all in me. Anything you want done, baby, I'll do it naturally.
I think you're totally ready for your Broadway appearance on stage. You can start on Broadway now. Yeah,
maybe.
You're not that shy. It's going to be really, really big, though. So you know, it's going to be like 10 times bigger than this. And before we finish, I just wanted to ask you about the collaboration with George Mackay, because it's something that Bertrand also mentioned. Obviously, the role was written originally for Gaspar Ulliel, and you played with him also before. So it was difficult to change a project that meant so much for Bertrand for a long time and with his friend. But I was the collaboration with George, and he's a really wonderful actor also, and he plays his part, three parts also, with such a natural way of the desperation of love and the fear of love through all the parts. So I was just wondering, as an interlocutor, how good he was for you to work with.
George, he was really great to work with. Like, I really felt that he was my ally. But he, again, like, he's like, first, but he's like a great actor, extremely talented, but also like on the human level, he's so nice. And he has this, childhood in, you know, he's like childhood in him. This thing where he's so pure.
he has a fragility also.
Well, fragility, yeah. But also he's so like devoted. You know, It was just we were like two kids, you know, in a playground. Yeah. No, really, he. It was very helpful to have him. For me. Right.
Thank you so much. Thank you for sharing so much about the beast. And I hope you come back. And I hope next time you come back, you will remember we were here.